Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. I'm your host, Deborah Vidala, broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. It's August 16th, 2015. I'm excited to have Mac Elias Gaskin as my return guest to discuss his book this evening. He's calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. I see him in studio already. Welcome back to Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Hey, Deborah, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I'm so happy to have you back with me on the air. We're going to talk about your book tonight. We have a lot of people tweeting. We're on Google+. We're on Facebook. First of all, you are certainly a special man. You are, to me, a warrior. Your book that you sent me, A Warrior's Garden, you mailed me a copy, and I was, you know, really wanted to bring this topic to the air. Yes, it's about health and wellness and public awareness, but the post-traumatic stress disorder is something for all of us to continue to learn about. For the listeners calling in, I have on the air a veteran of the United States Army. Malachias is also a Marine. He is a medic, an author, a husband, a father, and more. Civilians, not only men and women in the armed forces, experience PTSD. So part of the show is going to be giving a lot of information about how to get a copy of this book. Malachias, how was your day? How are you feeling? And let's get started. We have a lot of chapters to cover.
I'm not doing too bad, not doing too bad. We took a road trip today, actually. Got done with church and got home, and we live about an hour and 20 minutes from Fort Campbell. And my wife said, hey, let's go up to the PX and hang out for a little while. And I've got some friends that are stationed up here, so I'm hoping to connect with them tonight. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I do need to make one small correction because I love being on your show. I was never a Marine. I've only served in the Army. But I have a lot of family members that were Marines. A lot of my mentors were Marines.
I had pages and pages of notes on you, so I was going through there. And thank you for that correction.
No problem.
So let's talk about this book, what it means to you, and why you wrote the book.
The book really came out of it was a change in direction. There was going to be a documentary filmed back in 2012. By a company out of Nashville called the Nashville Film Institute. Is while I was still stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia. A friend of mine that I had met through a mutual friend had contacted me, and we got to know each other, and he was kind of like, you know, hey, we should get this done. And it was a documentary based on how I specifically was using music, which I believe is chapter 2 in the book. And about how I was using it specifically as a form of therapy, how I was using it in public as a social buffer, how I was using it to write it, to get my emotion out, to get the trauma out on paper. And when the Army in their infinite wisdom said, hey, you're going through a medical retirement processing board, you cannot be associated with anything to do with the press. You can't answer questions. You can't go on the record or anything like that. And I was like, well, this really sucks. I wanted to do this. And so my buddy Robbie, who ended up becoming my publisher, he's the founder of Trademarker Books, was like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should just write a book. Because during the time that we were talking and going through all this about the documentary, I've been adding things like my garden, and I had been adding things like, you know, family fishing trips and things like this that we were using as just different ways to cope and deal and just work through all my problems. And so he goes, maybe you should just write a book. And I'm like, what do I want? Who's going to read a book by a guy? I'm a high school dropout, dude. No one's going to read this. And he's like, no, seriously, just write a book, man. And so I sat down. I started writing it just as a this is what I did type of thing. And it turned into its own little event here. And it's gotten to a point where people taking it and they go, you know, hey, I'm not very spiritual. I'm not very religious. And so they take the church part out, the Christianity part out, and they add in whatever they're doing. And so it's become kind of a roadmap, you know, and some people are just like, I don't care about learning an instrument. So we take music out and we put in something else. But it has really become a tool, for people to put in their toolbox to basically say, you know, what am I doing for my PTSD today? What have I done to help somebody else with their PTSD today? Because for some people, their own therapy may be just helping other people, you know?
That's a great response. And we're talking about trauma versus recovery. I mean, the book is so interesting, and I have, again, a lot of points of interest. You talk about a lot of things, the bondage from PTSD to freedom. I love how you signed the book, you know, with strength and honor. When I opened the book, it was a whole day. The small note that you wrote me meant so much to me. And then I was still reading the book as I was getting the show prepared for tonight. There's a lot of great stuff. If you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, I have Malachias Gaskin. He's calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. He's a veteran. He's an author. And he's back on the air to discuss his book, A Warrior's Garden, Seeds of a Therapeutic Approach to Dealing with PTSD. Now, we want to give a direct link for people to get this book, and we have that. We're going to be giving that out shortly. But where is it? Where are you selling the book?
I have it on my website, which is just www.warriorsgarden.com. You can find it also through Facebook at A Warrior's Garden or A Warrior's Garden on Facebook. I personally, I'm kind of assisted self-published. So basically, like any order for the paperback that goes through my website, I personally fill every order. If you get it on Amazon, it's going to be in a digital format for Kindle. And I believe if you have a lot, because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have a Kindle, I don't have an e-reader or whatever. If you have a smartphone, you can download the Kindle app for free.
That's great.
You can actually get all kinds of, you can get all kinds of books through your Amazon account that download to your phone. And you can, I mean, because I literally, when I had HTC One, and I had Kindle app on my phone, and I read, like, I think I downloaded like 15 or 16 different books just on that phone. But it's great because, I mean, the book itself, like you have it, it's not very big. It fits in your cargo pocket, in military uniform.
I was carrying it around. I was carrying it around with my folder,
yeah,
you know, for the last 2-3 days. And it's really informative. And it's you can tell you wrote it from your heart and soul. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be doing this tonight. I'm just so honored and blessed to have you back on with me as a guest. You are a combat veteran of the Iraq War, 17 years of service, and you were a medic. You're very interesting, 2 deployments. After the first deployment, you noticed you had symptoms of PTSD?
I noticed that something was different. I didn't really know 100% what it was. I just knew that I was getting angry really easy. I knew that I wasn't sleeping right. I knew that any kind of noise made me jumpy, and I didn't realize what was going on. I knew that I was agitated constantly all the time. I knew that just there was something different. There was something wrong. Something wasn't right. But it took me a while to figure it out that, you know, hey, there's something going on, because at first I was just like, you know, hey, you know, you just transitioned. You just came back from combat. You just went through a lot of stuff. It's going to be different. Give it some time. And as the time went on, I realized it's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. And
well,
I didn't know what to do. So,
well, you've really gotten into the solution, and it's seen. You know, it's been a journey, and it's cool that you can share with others. We can all benefit from the message. I certainly was reading about you're retired now, but it's a medical retirement that really is necessary. Therapy, you've done the meds, the teas. I like that you do the nutrition, you and Paige, your wife. She's a wonderful woman. She stood by you for many years. Beautiful children together. Oh, yeah. I don't know her. But from what you expressed, from the support from her, it's very important for us to recognize the husbands and wives out there, don't you think, Malachias? For all the soldiers and all the troops and the armed forces.
I do. I dedicated a chapter in the book to my wife. It's called The Hidden Hero. Because I honestly
what
believe
number,
that, you know, it's...
What number is that, Malachias?
I want to say it's chapter... Hold on, let me pull up. I have a copy of the book right here. Because I don't have the chapters memorized because of my...
Okay.
I forget. It's chapter 6. And it's just... I know for a fact if it wasn't for having her beside me, and I've been blessed in this aspect, that if I didn't have her beside me, I probably wouldn't have cared as much, and I wouldn't even sought help. It could have very easily turned into self-medication where I would have started drinking again. I would have started doing what I needed to do to cope and get through. But she's such a trooper, and she cares so much that she's just like, she wouldn't put up with it. And she really has pushed me to better myself because she knows how much it means to the family that we're all together as one team, as one fight. I don't know that I would have even cared if it wouldn't have been for her with me to begin with, you know. And like I said, I'm blessed. A lot of guys don't have that. A lot of gals don't have that. They don't have that support structure. But it's.
Yeah.
I think that one of the key elements is finding that support structure, because it doesn't have to be a significant other. It could just be a best friend. It could be a family member.
Yeah.
It could be a cousin. It could be your brother, sister, mom, dad, someone. There's somebody in your life that you lean on. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely.
I've been blessed because she lives with me. You know, she takes care of me.
Yes, we're very blessed that she'll hopefully be tuning in with you over there at the house. I'm down here in South Florida. You're in Tennessee. We are all connected. There's people up in New York listening, in Carolina. Very exciting stuff going on. And I continue to read on, you know, how you fight the internal war. And the top three, which I really love, number one is God. To gardening and music. Fantastic. You grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And, you know, this your history, I love what you said. I know you dropped out of high school, but you worked since you were a young boy, from 10 years old. I have in my notes here. And I know your pop passed away in 04, God rest his soul. But you were a worker from the beginning. And you were driven.
Yeah, I was
groomed. Yes. So you enlisted in 94, correct?
Yes. I joined the Indiana Army National Guard in 1994. I did 9 years, and then I got out for 3 years, took a little break, and then I came back on active duty in 2006 and spent 8 years at Fort Stewart, Georgia.
You got to travel the world, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to, I've been to, for military training, I mean, I've been to Texas, I've been to Kentucky, I've been to Vermont, I've been to New York, I've been to Panama, I've been to, Germany, Iraq, Kuwait, Dubai, Qatar, I've been all over, and it's really been a journey. It has been a really, really great journey. Parts of it, like there are things where I've come across soldiers that I used to work with, that I used to mentor, that I was actually their mentor. And I didn't remember them because I have a pretty significant TBI and the PTSD causes issues with memory. But I didn't remember them. And they came to me and said, man, you know, you really got me through. You really helped me a lot. Like I remember all the lessons that you taught me. And I'm just sitting back going, man, I wish I could remember doing all that, you know, but
yeah.
You know, but they deployed, they did their job. They came home. And so I really feel like a success, because all the soldiers that I trained personally, they all came home alive. They all came home with their families, whether whole or broken
success.
A little bit. But
you are a success for sure. And I said you are a success. And I thank God that you came back safely to the family. I'm going to continue on and talk about, you know, we're going to get into the book here. We're cruising right through, young man. what the people don't realize, you know, when you guys were over there fighting the war, what happens. And when you come back home, again, the last show we did, I was certainly educated on the sleep patterns, the nightmares, how it was affecting you on a daily basis, the mood, the stamina, and we talked about anger. And it's okay to talk about that because, you know, thank God you had support there. What if somebody is alone and they feel angry and they need help? Could you give a suggestion for that?
Yeah, you know, I think the key right off the bat is do not let society in general today make you feel like you can't be angry. Because the thing is, like, it's weird is as a man, especially as a man, as a combat veteran male, you know, you come home, you're coming from combat, you're out in public, somebody does something, somebody says something happens that you get legitimately upset about. The minute you show your emotion verbally, it's like, oh, he's just a crazy vet, or, oh, it's just some guy, he's probably got PTSD or whatever. No, I'm ticked off. I'm allowed to have emotion, but we've come to the point in our today's society where it's like it's almost taboo to be angry in public. So don't feel like when you come home and all this is going on and you're alone, get angry, get it out, because the longer you bottle it up, the more you're going to start to get to a pattern of self-medication. You're going to get to a pattern of self-loathing. You're going to beat yourself up over it. Because you're holding it all in, and it's going to tear you up. You have got to find a way to get it out, whether it's through the weight room, whether it's through gardening, whether it's through music, whether it's through writing, whether it's through painting, drawing, anything, no matter what it is. Go shooting at a range. Go horseback riding. Go work with animals, something. Do something that allows you to have a disconnect. But don't think that just because you're angry or you're ticked off and you're mad that there's some that right there makes it wrong, because, no, that's a natural reaction to what we've been through. You know, whether you're a combat veteran or just a civilian with PTSD, it doesn't matter. If you have PTSD, anger is normal. It's what you do with it that defines how you're dealing with who you are.
That's a nice explanation. And we've talked about this with, you know, you doing the organic diet. After you were put on the Seroquel, you took that for an amount of time and you decided, you know, taking the RX meds long term could have adverse effects. So one of the reasons for writing the book was, you know, you were medicated. You wasn't essentially helping you per se. And then when you did it the holistic approach, your life started improving. So let's talk about some of the things you do. It's drug free. You're not on heavy medication. You're eating good. You're doing family activity that's healthy activity. So share with the listeners what you like best about how you've changed your routine from going to the doctor, them giving you an RX, because a lot of people are going through this, and how you broke out of it to say, you know, I'm going to do it a different way, the healthy way.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I think the key to it was that, like, I was on the Seroquel and on the Celexa, and you start looking at the side effects and you start looking at all the different things that happen. And with both of them, there's suicidal ideations. There's issues with sleep patterns. There's issues with all kinds of just, you know, chemical changes in the body. One of them, and this is going to be weird, I'm a realist. I keep things real. I don't like to sugarcoat things. So my wife didn't want to get close to me physically anymore because the medication itself was causing me to have what's called a fecal odor. And it basically smelled like I would go to the bathroom and it smelled like I didn't wipe ever. And it just was that bad. And so I didn't believe it. I didn't understand it because I couldn't smell it. I didn't know what was going on, you know? And so I went, actually, after about a year of dealing with this, I went online and I looked at the side effects and I started and I actually Googled, can this happen? You know, and come up that, yeah, both of these medications individually can cause it. And when you start combining them together, it makes it worse. And I'm like, well, that's just wonderful. And so that's when I was like, at that point right there, you know, I knew that I didn't like what the medication was doing. I knew that I didn't like taking the medication to begin with. But that's when we just kind of, we took all the meds, we put them in a basket and we went to the local health food store there in Hinesville, Georgia. And it's called Farmers Natural Foods. And I was like, hey, Jerry, the owner, I was like, I need to get off this. What do I do? Like, what can I take? And we basically went medication by medication. You know, what is this one for? I'm like, well, this one is for anxiety and aggression and temper and this and that and everything. He's like, okay, what is it supposed to do? And I'm like, well, supposedly what it is, it's a synthetic version of serotonin and it gives you a masking feeling in the body. And he's like, well, we're going to put you on this instead. And so I, one medication at a time, I transitioned off for about 90 days each. And got to a point where finally I was off of all the RXs and I was taking organic supplements and things like that. And it was just, I felt so much better. And my wife could actually tell. Like, the weird part was when I would run out of my meds on the RX and I would actually go to I would level off and be better without them for about 4 or 5 days. And then I would start getting really angry, really, really mad, because I would start going through the withdrawal. Well, with the organic supplements that I'm taking, with the kava kava and the GABA and the no-thistle and the niacin and all that, all of a sudden, like when I miss it, after 2 days, literally after 2 days, my wife goes, "Have you been taking your meds?" Because she can tell
she knows
the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't
work. Because
of that,
it must be adjusting your pH. And I think it's a good good example to share with people that we don't know what's in this Seroquel and a lot of the other drugs.
Right.
Now, if that's putting a toxic fume coming out of your body through your pores, then you know it's somewhat poisonous. And
yeah.
And this is good news. This is good news that you're sharing about doing it naturally. Again,
well,
ladies and gentlemen,
like
if
after...
you're
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, honey.
After about being retired for about 11 months, 10 months, I actually added a chapter which is new to the book. It's called The Transition. It's chapter 9. And it's basically,
okay,
it's what I have done specifically. It's how I transitioned off of the medications, which medications I'm taking, and then also about how I transitioned from the – because I actually had a really successful transition from military life to the veteran community and the civilian sector, where I went from working in the military, working into a corporate office. And so I actually added, like, how did I do it? What were the key things, the things that I did that was different maybe from somebody else, but how I transitioned successfully from the military into that environment, with the medicine and with the job and family and things like that. But it was really just, a lot of people have just been kind of blown away at it. And I'm just like, it just felt natural to me.
I'm on page 55 and we're down to just a little under 10 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, Malachias Gaskin, veteran of the United States Army, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. He's an author, and he has a wonderful book, A Warrior's Garden, Seeds of a Therapeutic Approach to Dealing with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. On page 55, you have a list of things, music, worship, gardening, etc., writing songs, diet, fishing. It says, so I've tried a lot, but maybe none of this looks appealing to you. The point is to go out and find what works for you. Be active and do something about it. Don't just sit around and wait to get better. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
I love it. This book is fantastic. We're going to have links up on all the social media. Please post it on my Facebook page again. I went to chapter 10 earlier, and you know, the closing thoughts, it says,
mm-hmm.
Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself, Confucius. Would you like to share on that chapter, Malachias?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we, especially as veterans, and it's something that we've really pushed at, and again, I'm not trying to isolate anybody who's not a veteran that has PTSD. Understand that it's like whenever you have a traumatic issue like that's with PTSD or something like that, and it's very focused in the military, the way that we treat it as a civilian and the way that we treat it in the military actually gets focused and changed and improved by the reactions to the way it's treated in the military. And so the improvements with medical care, when you look over the years, trauma care and things like that have been improved on the civilian side because of advances within the military community and the way that we do it. So it's not that we're segregating ourselves, it's that we're actually setting a pathway for others to find that same way of healing, and that's the purpose of the book. But with the closing thoughts is that what works for me, for my journey, my personal healing path, doesn't necessarily going to work for this guy over here or this lady over here. So I'm not going to push myself and what I have done personally. So I'm not going to push my faith on you. I'm not going to push my music on you. I'm not going to push the gardening on you. What I want to do is I want to go, what do you already have that you enjoy doing? Because that's where we're going to start. I can't push what my values are onto someone else, and I can't push what works for me, because we've already found with PTSD that the same cookie cutter repair, same cookie cutter medical care, the same cookie cutter, psychological care doesn't work for every person with PTSD. It's completely has to be tailored to the person to get the maximum amount of benefit. And so I can't push what I believe onto you, but what I can help you do is find what you already believe and help you improve that, which is going to improve your journey. It's going to improve your healing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've really gotten a lot of information, and I'm so excited. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone can develop PTSD, not just soldiers. It comes from a traumatic event, and I learned this today. You know, severe accidents, death, abuse, robbery. You spoke about you knew many people that worked at convenience or gas stations, and they were held hostage and tied up, situations of crisis. I never knew that, you know, I think a lot of people are almost unaware of, hey, they get PTSD too. So the book is amazing. Tell me, I mean, because you wrote that in the book. I think I'm still not even halfway through because I'm taking my time with it. This is a really powerful message, this book, A Warrior's Garden.
A really, really close friend of my wife's, she used to be a gas station manager at a little shop at type gas station. And she had been held hostage by robbers, had been robbed and beaten, had been pistol whipped by people robbing her gas station on multiple occasions over the 15, 16 years that she worked in the gas stations. My biological mother was a manager at a gas station, was held hostage, pistol whipped, beaten. They threatened to kill her. All of this over a 15-hour period that she was held hostage. I have friends that were in severe car accidents to the point where they will not ride as a passenger because they were the passenger in the accident. And so they refuse to ride passenger. They have to be driving when you go somewhere. And that's their coping mechanism. It's like, okay, I wasn't in control and now I am, so I'm okay. But yeah, I mean, the military does not have an exclusive ownership of PTSD. The reason that it has become so prevalent is that because of the last 10, 11 years we've been at war, and guys are coming home, gals are coming home left and right that have PTSD. And then not only are we coming home, but we're getting released from the military back into the civilian sector, back into the veteran community, without the ability to cope and understanding of what to do. And at the forefront of it, it was just like, okay, we're home, go. And well, how do we reintegrate? How do we get back? How do we become part of this again? And how do I deal with what's changed within me? So it's definitely something that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of people working together. Like I said, if it wasn't for my wife, if it wasn't for my friends and family that I have that have supported me, I probably wouldn't be anywhere close to where I am right now. And I'm not healed. I'm not cured. It's not gone. But I found a way to cope in a way that it's not exhausting trying to cope. And a lot of people are just, they're fed up with coping because it's just exhausting trying to cope and figure out what to do. So
Malachias, we're down to 20 seconds. Great message. Get the book, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming back on the air and sharing your message. Plan for Fitness is broadcasting live Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. Malachias.
Yes.
In closing, let's give out the link one more time so they can get the book.
Oh, it's www.warriorsgarden.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to the talk show where we have Malachias Gaskin. He's a veteran. He's an author. He's amazing. Powerful message. Once again, I thank you for being with me on the air tonight.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much. And send my love to Paige, and you have a wonderful evening together. God bless.
God bless you.
God bless. Good night. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back on the air next Sunday at 6:30 p.m. streaming live on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.